Thank you, brother. Isn't that a comforting thought? That his eye is on the sparrow. I was listening to a song earlier, and I think it made reference to that in the sense that, you know, God gives us our daily bread, doesn't he? And I think in the lyrics of the song, and I'm trying to remember who it was, I think it was the Lauren Daigle song, but made reference to, why should I let worry eat up my bread? Why should I let worry eat up my bread? Think about that. He feeds the sparrow. He feeds us with his daily provision. Amen? And worry, either I can eat the bread or worry is going to eat the bread. Something's going to eat it. Are you with me? And if worry eats it, that means I'm not going to get to eat it. And I need to eat it. That's why it's daily provision. Daily provision. Are we on, brother? Good deal, good deal. Well, church, it's good to be back with you, to get to celebrate and praise with you. We missed y'all, always do. We value your investment in us and prayer, and the church we were with this week wanted me to specifically thank y'all for sharing us with them for a little bit and being able to invest in them. And the pastor asked on Wednesday night if I'd just pass that message on to y'all. And thank y'all for praying for us this week. We had a good week. We had a good week, a refreshing work that we got to see the Lord do. You know, Paul had mentioned that on several occasions in his letter to the church at Corinth, didn't he? He said, mark out those who refresh you in the work of the Lord. And this week we got to see God do that refreshing work within the life of this fellowship. Several of them shared with me specifically of just how reviving and refreshing it was for them, and just the comfort in the midst of a chaotic world. There was just a comfort in every service when we gathered together in the what we looked at in the message, and we covered quite a bit of the things that we looked at in our reading through 1 and 2 Corinthians. So appreciate y'all praying. Appreciate Brother Chris and Brother Shannon for stepping in and being a blessing to y'all while we were out, and Brother Greg and them taking care of things while we were gone. Heard we had a little water leak last week. When I got in, I noticed the water, top of the water valve out there was off, so I knew something. Something went on, and when I come inside, I noticed the ice maker back there was pulled out. So that was an obvious clue that something had taken place. But I tell you, y'all, does anybody have any testimony you want to share, any praise or any thanksgiving of what the Lord has been doing, what he's been speaking, what he's been helping you with, that you can bless the brethren with? What has his grace been at work doing in your journey? Amen. Anybody?
Constantly teaching us.
You know, if grace ain't in it, God ain't in it. And if God ain't in it, we don't really need it. Are you with me?
Amen.
We want grace to be in it. I don't know if y'all picked that up, but in these last 2 days, how many times he mentions that word grace in chapter 8 and chapter 9. Of God's grace at work, and he referred to this grace abounding in our life. Grace is Jesus at work. That's God gratifying himself, for himself, in and through our lives, and how desperately we need it. And part of that teaching us is part of that abounding grace that is at work in our journey. Not only teaching us, but us getting to teach others of what he's doing. I think Paul made mention of that in the book of Colossians, that we make it our aim to warn, admonish every man, teaching every man, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's just a great way of thinking. We proclaim a message, we teach a message so that we can present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's not just what comes to us, but that's what flows out of us as well. Amen. Anybody else?
Brother Nick, you know, over the last few weeks, you know, there's been a lot going on
uh-huh. and all this stuff. And it amazes me to hear them say in some of the last sentences, they'll say, just to see if there was ever life there.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you reflect back on the Bible, and, you know, it's only one earth. And if they want to try to prove the Bible wrong,
Men would do that. That's part of what we see in the book of Romans in chapter 1 and in the chapter 2. Paul referred that as that is a manifestation of the wrath of God upon men, that men are blind to Him and men search out everything but Him, and that they suppress the truth in their activities of what they do. That's part of the wrath. There's more wrath to come, but that's evidence of God's wrath when people can't look to Him, won't look to Him, and then what they do attempt to understand, they try to distort it, so it distorts how He looks to everybody else so that they can do their thing. And that's wrath upon men. And it's a wrath that we have to be cautious of not to get caught up in, that we don't get caught up in that way of thinking as well, because the Scriptures teach us that they have no inheritance in the kingdom. And if they have no inheritance in the kingdom, that is saying that there's nothing that they can benefit you in kingdom life, because they have nothing of the kingdom in them. Therefore, we have to be very cautious, and that's part of the life of Christ that abides in us to save us from that, to deliver us from that. And that's Him living in us and through us. But yes, that is so.
The other day, when we were done acting with outside, he admitted to me that he believed in God, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking at stars and the different things.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, you know, I kind of questioned him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Come on across. Parents never believed in God.
Right. Something has taken place where his mind has been shifted in thinking, which we know what that could only be. Something that would be authentic is the man has to be born again and made a new creature in Christ Jesus, where they are in Christ, and therefore now we want to see Christ in them. And that is where we look at the individual or the people or the group, you know, how do they treat Jesus Christ? What do they say about Him? That's the telltale of everything in life, of how a man handles the Lord Jesus Christ is really the telltale. And that's a blessing. People praying for him, somebody like yourself interceding for a man like that, that was perishing without the Lord, but now God has done a work in his life. How old is he? 57. Well, praise God that God done a work in him before he ever had to meet him face to face. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody else?
Before the morning, a group message every morning.
Yeah.
Well, y'all remember a couple of years ago we had a guy we thought he about died on, you know.
Yeah.
Had to run and get him out, a helicopter come pick him up.
Right.
The amps got on
his yes, head. I remember, yeah.
He knew
God,
that was God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But last week, he got down there hunting down there, and he said, we were sitting in the woods turkey hunting, and he said, it just came over me. He said, something happened to me. And he said, I turned around to Keith, and Keith prayed with him right there.
Yeah.
He was like, I accept Jesus as my Savior.
Yeah.
Right there in the woods.
And how about that?
Like, he was fired up. He's like, man, I ain't never felt. He said, I want to get up in the morning.
Come on.
And
yeah.
And it was less than a year ago he put a gun to his head.
Isn't that something?
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's
crazy. Yes. Well, praise Jesus. Yes. We were praying for him. You know, and he had that leaven. Remember the Scriptures talking about the different kinds of leaven? And the leaven of Herod is they tolerate us. Long as you don't overpressure them, long as you don't bother them too much, they will tolerate us, and it's okay. Like Herod, like John the Baptist, he liked him. He didn't want to hurt him. He didn't want to do anything to him, but he got pressured by it, and he had to. But that's that kind of leaven like that boy was at. He had an idea of who God was, but didn't know him. And then God's done a work in him. Now he can't help but praise him and give him glory for what he's done. Boy, the difference he makes. Amen. We're always looking for those interruptions that the Lord does, those evidences of his grace. Yes. Anybody else? Notice how he pulls this. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Chapter 8 and chapter 9. And we're going to look at some of these thoughts of the difference between what the Lord does in our journey, in our life, and the expectation of God of when he does birth us into the kingdom. Some things we've been seeing as we walk here in 2 Corinthians. But I'm gonna start out in verse number 1. Verse number 1 of chapter number 8 of 2 Corinthians. We're up to what today? Chapter number 9 in our reading. But he says in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace," just keep that in mind, "we make known to you the grace of God bestowed upon the churches." You see, we want people to notice and recognize God's grace upon us. That when they gather with us and they leave, they say, "Man, we recognize God's grace upon that fellowship." Because we are the body, right? We are the church. And the church is the called out assembly that has been set apart for God's service. He goes on to say, let's look and keep on looking down. Now, Paul was in reference. He's going to be dealing with some giving. That this church had made a commitment to give a year ago. And that giving was part of God's grace. And he's going to highlight all that. And he's saying, I know you committed to it. Now you need to follow through with that commitment. We've been telling everybody of your commitment of God's grace, and we want to see you follow through with that. He says in verse number 5, "And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by what?" Isn't that something that always works? A man gives himself to God, and when he gives himself to God, he also gives himself. If it's in the will of God, it'd be to give themselves to the Lord and to the body of Christ. It's just how God works. That's the will of God. Verse 6, "So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this" what? This verse 6, he would complete this work of grace in you as well. Now notice verse 7, "But as you abound in everything..." That is, you abound in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us. See that you abound also in this what? Grace, which is in relationship to giving. But notice, Brother Shannon, how he tied all those things to grace. Amen. To grace. Not only your grace given, but look, faith, that's a work of grace. Our communication, our speech, the way we talk about Jesus, what we say about him, what we communicate for him, that's a work of what? Grace. Why? Because if it's grace, that means it's God. If it's God, that means it's Jesus. And that's Jesus what? Living out his life through our lives. That's why it's grace. So everything he just wrote about their faith, their speech, their knowledge, their diligence and their love was Jesus at work in them, manifesting his grace out of them. Jesus was just living out of them. And that's what that equates to. Jesus being manifested out of them. Look in verse number, go over to chapter 9 and look in verse number 6. He's carrying this thought over with the giving side. And this giving was grace giving, just like their teaching was grace teaching. Their knowledge was grace knowledge. Their faith was grace faith. It was all a product of this grace. Verse 6 says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly," that is, he who plants sparingly, "will also" what? If you don't sow, you can't reap. And if you sow a little, you reap a little. But if you sow much, you reap much. And we want to be sowers, amen. We want to sow according to this grace. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a happy or cheerful or hilarious or overflowing giver. Verse 8, for God is able. Y'all say that with me. God is what?
Able.
Is he able?
Amen.
I shout in words, amen. He's able. Amen. What is he able to do? He's able to make what?
All grace.
All grace, which he's already mentioned, what? Faith and knowledge and speech and diligence and wisdom and giving. He's able to make all that grace abound towards you, that you as an individual, you as a corporate body, will always have all sufficiency in all things and may have an abundance for what? Every, and you see, the good work is a grace work.
Amen.
The good work is a work Jesus is in. A good work is what God's doing. It's by the will of God. So God is able to make that abound toward us. So we'll have the knowledge that we need, along with the love that we need, and the communication that we need, the comprehension, Brother Shannon, that we need. When grace is in it, Jesus is in it.
Amen.
And when Jesus is in it, God's all over it. And when he's all over it, it's going to abound in every aspect that his grace is at work in our life. And that's where we want to function. That's where we want to live at. Amen.
Amen.
Now, that living is not expected to come from you on your own. We can't live this life without Christ living it through us. There is no expectation from God for you to live this kind of life independent of Jesus. Can't happen.
Amen.
This takes us back to what John 15. Jesus said, if a man doesn't abide or stay connected to him, he says, if I don't do it through you, what you do has no eternal value to it. You can't do anything unless I do it through you. So this is what it goes back to, these same principles here. This is Jesus living his life out of me and out of you when we operate in this way. Think about it from this perspective. Remember when Jesus came to this world? How did Jesus enter into this world? What was something supernatural that God did to bring himself, that he himself came and lived among us? What did he do? There was a virgin birth. Mary, God clothed himself where? In Mary's womb. She conceived of the Holy Spirit. God clothed himself with humanity in her womb. And then that little babe, who was uniquely born in every aspect and way, then lived out his life in humanity with a human body to be our substitute, to be our sacrifice, and to teach us how to live as he lived. And he laid down his life and shed his blood so that we could be what? Reconciled unto God. That we can be forgiven of our sins and reconciled unto him. Now remember what Jesus told his people. What did he tell them? What did he tell his disciples when he was fellowshipping with them on that night before he was crucified? Remember when they had the Passover meal? He said, my Father and I are going to come back to you. And we're going to come back to you and we're going to take up residence within you. How was he going to come back? He said, I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send a helper. And when I send that helper, that's me. My spirit is coming to live within you. Remember, Jesus died, shed his blood, and on that third day, what happened? He resurrected. He walked on this earth for another 40 days. Then he went up into heaven. And then what happened after that? What happened on that day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came, and what did Jesus do? Jesus then came and clothed himself in our humanity so that he could then walk through this earth in our bodies, in us, and live out what he lived then in us. How many times have you heard me say that before about the life that Jesus lived qualified him for the death that he died. And the death that he died qualifies us to live the life that he lived then, right now. And how does he live that life? By the power of his Spirit living in us, so that what he done for us at Calvary to reconcile us unto God, now he can live in us, and that we can manifest him, our lives, our bodies, us together being one body, the body of Christ. We're many members. He's gifted each one of us to build up and edify his body. But he does that by what? Living within us. Amen? Amen. And that's how this grace, Brother Shannon, of this teaching and this knowledge and this faith and this love, and all, that's how all this comes out. Amen. By Jesus living where? In us, and then coming out of us, living through us. Very similar how Paul would say it like this in Galatians 2:20. Remember he said, it's no longer I who live. He said, I've been what? Crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me, that I, Nick Holden, can be the righteousness of God in Christ and then live that life out upon this earth. And this is what Paul was getting to as he was teaching this congregation at Corinth, that, hey, Jesus wants to live his life in his body upon this earth right now. And as you yield to him, you make yourself fully available to him, he's fully able and he's fully aware. You just make yourself fully available, and then he lives out of you for his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at a couple of passages that'll help us with this thought. Go to the book of Romans. Look in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. We'll kind of parallel a few things. Romans 5. Because we don't want to miss this. All this grace that he's talking about, and they're giving, and they're loving, and they're believing, and they're working, every good work. This is all Jesus by the power of his Spirit living out of us. It's how this happens. Notice what verse, Romans 5, looking about verse number, let's start in verse number 8. Let's go to verse number 6. Verse number 6 says, for when we were still without strength, impossible whatsoever to be pleasing to God, to do anything godly. We were without that capability. We were weakened through our sinful flesh. Unable. Y'all remember that? Unable. God does not expect us in this natural body of ours to fulfill the righteous requirements of his ways. It's impossible. We can't do that. That's why Jesus clothed himself. And that's why Jesus clothes himself in us. Because you can't do it, I can't do it, but he can through us. He can through us. Verse 6 says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for who? Not for the righteous, not for godly men, but who did he die for?
Ungodly.
Were you ungodly?
Amen.
Was I ungodly? Were we all ungodly? He only died for who? The ungodly that know they're ungodly. You see, the world we live in that lives with a self-righteousness don't see themselves as ungodly. And if you never see yourself as ungodly, you will never need a Redeemer who came to save the ungodly. You got to get lost before you could ever be found. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for even a good man someone would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God has demonstrated his own love toward us, the ungodly, who have been made right with him, in that while we were still what? The word sinner means to what? Miss the mark. We lived constantly missing the mark because, Mr. Billy, we were ungodly. We couldn't hit that mark. That's why it's referred to as the idea of these sinners. They just lived a pattern of life that constantly fell short of that glory because they constantly never hit the mark of God's perfection of what he requires. Now, on the other hand, Jesus did. In his life he lived, he always hit the mark. And you see, when he lives that life in us, he always what? Hits the mark. That's why he's got to live what? In us and through us. So he says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9. Much more then. There's more to this. Having now been legally, eternally justified by his blood that he shed, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Amen. Now watch, he's going to give us explanation of this. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been now reconciled through his death, we shall be saved by or through his what? His life. You see, Jesus' death on the cross, his shed blood, is what forgives us of our sins, reconciles us to God, and when that happens, now we are in position that by his life, how what he did when he lived and how we lived, now we are being delivered from the wrath that is manifested in this world and the wrath that is still yet to come. And that's through his life, how he lived, what he done, why he did what he did when he done what he did, why he said what he said when he done what he did. All that is what we are delivered from, that this world is currently under that wrath and condemnation. So a world that's under that wrath and condemnation is to have no influence on me because I'm being influenced from within by the life that Jesus lived, then what he's doing in me right now, hitting the mark in my life for the glory of God.
Amen.
He goes on to say, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Now, not only have we received reconciliation in Jesus, but we've received a ministry to go see that this world of ungodly sinners can also be reconciled to God through the shed blood of Jesus, that they too can live out the life of Jesus upon this earth through the grace of God. Amen? How all this works in what Paul was unveiling to us in Corinthians. Let's think about it from this perspective. What happens when a man is reconciled to God? When somebody's reconciled to God, it's because, number one, they've been forgiven. Number two, they're justified, not based on what they could do, not based on their works, but based on the merit of Jesus in his shed blood. Our sins got to be forgiven. There had to be a sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So Jesus being a sinless sacrifice of God and our substitute on the cross reconciles us unto God. And that reconciliation puts us in a position to be freed from the way of living and thinking that we used to operate in that was under wrath, so that now we can live and operate in that justification that happened at the cross, now Jesus can live his life out of us.
Amen.
Just like he was clothed with Mary, now he comes and lives and he's clothed with us. And therefore he can live his life out on this earth through our lives.
Amen.
Now, I have to, that's done by faith. That's me putting faith in these things, putting faith in what he's come to do. I wanted to take you over. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice this. Two things that we want to see. 2 Corinthians 5, and want to pick up the wording of the differences that are there. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's look at the difference between being what the Bible says, us being in Christ, and Christ in us. In Christ and Christ where? In us. There's a difference. There's a difference. 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is what? In Christ. See, we got to be found in Christ. That's where that reconciliation comes from. That's where that blood cleanses us. That's where the forgiveness is given. It's in Christ. And if we're not in Christ, who are we still in? Adam. We're still in Adam. And if we're still in Adam, we're what? Perishing. We're lost. But when a man puts faith in Jesus, he is now in Christ and he's been what? Reconciled unto God. So, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Now all things have become. Not only is he new in Christ, but now the newness of his life will come and be manifested because Christ is going to be what? In him. In him. And that's where we see this unfold in verse 18. Now all things are of God. That is us being in Christ. That is Christ being in us. He has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and he has also given us the ministry of reconciliation. Same thing Romans 5, 9 through 11 said. Not only have we been reconciled, but we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, that is Christ living his life out of us. Just like how God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, now God's where? In us, reconciling a world unto himself. He's just living that out of us. He's living that out of us. Praise God for it. Amen. Because Miss Pat can't live the Christ life without Christ. Brother Nick can't live the Jesus life without Jesus. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ has to what? Live in me. Amen.
Amen.
In me. So, let's look, if we would, from that perspective, let's look at it. Go to Colossians. I mentioned this passage already, but we'll look at it and see. Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. See, when Christ is living his life through us, that's when things are blessed by the grace of God. That's when our giving is elevated in grace. That's when our teaching is elevated in grace. That's when our knowledge is elevated in this grace. Because it's God doing it. It's God doing it in and through our lives. So Colossians 1, look in verse number 19. Colossians 1:19 says, for it pleased the Father that in Jesus all the fullness should dwell. That was a pleasure of God. And by Jesus to reconcile all things to himself, by Jesus, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So y'all say that with me. His blood reconciled me to God. His blood reconciled us to God. His blood had to be shed, and that's where peace is given. That's where I can have what? Peace with God.
Amen.
But the peace that goes beyond understanding is from Christ living his life in me and through me. So God made peace with me because of Jesus. But it's Jesus living in me that I get to experience the peace that goes beyond understanding. He says in verse number 21, and you who were once alienated, you were enemies because you were ungodly, you were sinners, you were enemies where? In your mind by wicked works, yet now through Jesus, the Father has reconciled you in the body of Jesus' flesh through death with this purpose. This purpose is to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And then verse 23, Paul says, that is to say, you've been reconciled if you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a reconciler, a minister to teach these things. Now he goes on. Look, if you would, I'm going to just jump down to verse 27. To them, that would be the saints who were going to be redeemed, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles. And that glory is this, which is Christ where? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Notice the difference. You see, Karen, when we are reconciled, that puts me in a position to be in Christ. Now my eternal destination is where Christ is. That I have a home in heaven. I've been made at peace with God. I am in Christ now. But you see, for God to do what he wants to do in his body, Christ has to be what? In us, in me. You see, that's the hope of glory. What's the hope? The word hope means an expectation. What's the expectation of glory? What's the expectation of heaven? That is what? Christ in us. He reconciled me so that Christ can be in me. He reconciled me, not just that I can have peace with him, but that puts me in a position that now God can live within me. And now that he lives within me, that's the expectation of glory. That's the expectation of heaven, is Christ in me living the Christ life through me, out of my life. And that's where Paul was saying, you have demonstrated that in your giving at Corinth. You demonstrated that in your repentance at Corinth. Remember chapter 7? He says, you proven yourself, have cleared yourself, that godly sorrow worketh repentance. You got that right with God. You was off, but now you got it right. And now that you're right, what we see is God manifesting himself out of your life again. Christ in you, the expectation of the glory of God. Christ living in us and him living his life out of us. Amen? Amen. And that's where we go back to this. How does he live that life out of us? By faith. We simply take what God gives us. We feed on what he gives us. And as we feed on and nurture and trust him, Ms. Pat, Christ comes alive and lives his life out of us. Amen. And man, what an eternal difference that makes in our everyday journey. Amen?
Amen.
Our giving abounds.
Come on.
Our teaching abounds. Our knowledge abounds. Our love abounds. Because it's Christ living his life out through us. And God is able. Amen.
Yes.
And he's aware of the work that needs to be done. And when we make ourselves available, fully available, yielding ourselves to him, presenting ourselves to him as living sacrifices, what do? God proves that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will through us, because it's Jesus living his life out of us. So does every man need to be in Christ? If they're not, they are what? They are perished. They're lost. And every man that's in Christ, the expectation of glory is that Christ be within them. And notice what Paul finishes this out. We'll maybe pick some of these things up again tonight as we gather back together. Notice verse 27 again of Colossians 1. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in you. The expectation of glory. The expectation of God. God just didn't save you so that you can be reconciled and have a place with Him in heaven. He saved you that He can live in you. You know, Emmanuel, God with us. Why was God with us? Because God was for us. Why was God for us? Because God wants to be in us. And why does God want to be in us? So that God can lead us through this life. That's the purpose. That's the hope of glory. That Christ living in us. And then that's why Paul says, this is what I do as a response to that. With these two thoughts. Him, that would be Jesus, we preach, admonishing or warning every man, that would be to be reconciled unto God, to have peace with God. Through who? Jesus and His shed blood, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, what? In Christ Jesus. Twofold. That Christ will not only they be in Christ, but what? Christ be in them. That's why we warn, and that's why we teach. We warn the world they'll perish without Him. And those that receive Him, we teach them the wisdom of God so Christ can live within them, through them, and out of them to His glory. That's presenting every man, what? Perfect in Christ. And that should be the goal of every one of us. Amen? That we see people reached and we see people living a yielded life so that Christ can be manifested out of them. And that's what Paul, when he was writing, spent so much time with this church at Corinth, who'd gotten out of whack. Christ wasn't being manifested out of them. So he sent his best men to go to them so that can be restored. And he says, hey, man, look what's happened. Man, y'all turned, y'all trusted. And now Jesus is being manifested out of your life. And what you started, hey, keep walking in it. Amen. Because God's grace will abound toward you in everything and in every way when Christ is living out of you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, tonight when we gather back, we're going to see how some of this, we look at some other places where how even in the Old Testament from the perspective, how every one of us still have issues that we've got to face and deal with. How many of y'all still got to deal with worry? How many of y'all still got to let worry eat the bread that belongs to you for the daily provision? Worrying is what? Is a transgression. That's putting matters where? In our own hands. That's pridefully saying, I got this thing better. I got it figured out better than who? The Lord. And that doesn't work with the Lord. Amen. So that's why we don't want to fret. That's why we don't want to do those things. And David said this in the Psalms. He says, I kept myself from my iniquity. Now that's a relief. That tells me that though he was a man after God's own heart, though he did all the will of God, there was still iniquity that was in him. That still manifested. But he didn't yield to it. Who did he yield to? He yielded to the Lord. Not every time, but he says, man, when I yielded to the Lord rewarded me. He rewarded me for my righteousness, which is simply saying, I put trust in the Lord and not myself. And God gave life to me in that and rewarded me with His presence. And that's what we need in our journey, His presence, amen? Living in us and through us. So when we give, we know why we give. You think about it. It's so easy just to sit and write a check because you get used to doing that. But remember what Paul was teaching them when they gave. He says, you are a co-laborer with God. You are a co-laborer with the brethren. You investing in kingdom work. And when you put that seed in kingdom work, God is aware of it. And God's able to use it, make grace abound in it. And God is able to do this, and He's able to make it abound back towards you. and do marvelous things, not just in the giving side, but in the faith, in the love, in the knowledge, in everything. He can make it all abound to you when you know you're giving what? In faith. Why? Because Christ is living that life out of you. So we are intentional in everything we do. Amen?
Amen.
Because if he's aware and he's living in me, he's going to make me aware of what he's doing when he does it. And that's just learning to take everything and live by faith.
Amen.
In what we do. And what a world of a difference it makes. Amen? Amen. Let's think about this just for close. We might bring it up again tonight. Remember what God told Joshua and all the people of Israel when they was about to overcome Jericho? He said, I don't want you to say a word for 6 days until I tell you to shout. When I tell you to shout, you shout in faith. You stay quiet in faith. And when you shout, they didn't know what was going to happen. They just followed the leadership of God. And they had a problem on the other side of that wall. They had a problem with that wall. They had people on the other side of that wall that this group of people had never had to... I mean, they wasn't fighters. They wasn't prepared to fight. They wasn't going to have to fight. They didn't know they wasn't going to have to fight. They just were called to what? Obey the Lord. And he told them to be quiet for those 6 days. Don't talk about your problem. Don't talk about what you're worried about. But what? Be silent and trust me and march around that city for 6 days. And on the seventh day, when I tell you to shout, you shout. And they didn't know what was going to happen. But when they shouted, what took place? The walls didn't fall this away as if they pushed them. Now, you know, the walls fell this away. And they went in and conquered the land. So whatever it is in your life that you've been thinking on, you've been talking about, you've been feeding, and you just keep talking about it, talking about it, talking about it, it might be the best thing. Just be quiet about it.
Come on.
And just look to the Lord and do what he tells you to do, even if it don't make sense. You just trust him. And you follow his lead. And what could be a problem, with him who is able, ain't no problem.
Amen.
And he does the miracle working power.
Come on.
In and through us. Amen. Any of y'all got some things right now that you can talk a lot about? That talking about it ain't going to do any good? But trusting him and following his lead is going to be what overcomes you've been talking about. Amen?
Amen.
So you might just want to quit talking about it, quit thinking on it, and just obey what God's given you and walk in it. Walk in it by faith and let him bring it. Let him bring it out to his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We bless you today. We ask you to help us with this. We want to live by faith. We want to trust you. You don't expect us to live this life that only you can live through us. But there is an expectation of us trusting you. And the trust that we put in you overcomes this world, overcomes the walls, overcomes the struggles, overcomes the difficulties. It presses through it because we simply take in you at your word. And the life you lived then, you want to live in us now. And we trust you with it. In Jesus' name, amen. The trifecta. I got written by those passages all through there. The triple T. Trust it, test it, and true. He is faithful. And he is good. Amen?
Amen.
He is faithful and he is good. Yes, he is. He's able to make that grace abound to us. To him be the glory.